pissing in the wind, betting on the losing friends, making the same mistakes we swear we'll never make again.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to episode 13 of the Chat New England podcast. I'm Nick LaRocque, and I guess summer is finally over officially because this is our first NFL regular season podcast. We're going to be here every week breaking down the lines of the upcoming games, giving you our picks, and probably talking about some other stuff too. I'm here as always with Ben Babcock from chatpats.com. What's going on, Babcock? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's opening night, and the NFL is back, and it's just the start of a beautiful 6 or 7 months here. I'm very excited, and excited to be doing podcast number 13. You know, it just occurred to me, I'm like, oh, 13. I don't know if there's a rule, like, with skyscrapers, like, if they leave the 13th floor out. Like, do you think we should have maybe just skipped to 14 for good luck?
Well, we'll have to think about that. Maybe when we actually post this, we could call
it that. We can rebrand it, I think, if we need to.
Yeah.
But either way, man, we've had a good little break here, you know, the last few days of summer behind us. And, man, it feels a little bit like fall. Football is helping that out. And I don't know. I'm ready to get into the season here.
Yeah, man. So we're going to do the lines. Now, I'm a little bit scattered at the moment. Had some serious traffic coming home. A little bit scattered, just shoved some dinner down my mouth as I was driving, and I'm here. So you've been home a little bit longer, so I think we're going to need a big performance from you today. I think we're going to need you in the driver's seat. So do you want to take us through the games?
Yeah, man, I'll take you through the games. I was home early. I got one of my old college spiral notebooks. Remember those things?
I do.
Yeah. Well, I found one of these things, and I've been using it to write down notes. I took a lot of notes this afternoon on different things. I've got all the lines right here in front of me. We'll jump into those, and then we're definitely going to get to a few of our reader questions, reader and listener questions, I should say. We've had a lot of good feedback from the fans, and we'll get to some of those questions coming up here in a little bit. So, but let's start with the lines for this coming week. You know, one of our favorite things to do over the years has been picking these games against the spread. And I like to think we do a pretty decent job. But, you know, every week is a new week. Every season is a new season. So what do you say we dive in and get rolling with some of these lines? I have to say, I guess as a disclaimer, these lines I pulled off of footballlocks.com. It's just one of the first sites that came up when I did my Google search. So for what it's worth, they look reasonable, I guess. First week is always a little bit of a wild card anyway. But so the first game here, obviously the game we're kicking off the season with tonight that's being played, and you are not watching. I've seen a little bit of it. But
I just got home in West Coast time, so I got a recording. I'm going to watch it after we do this.
Yeah, so it's like it's the sun's still out there, I'm sure, and everything. But Scout's Honor, I made my pick before the game started. You can believe me or not believe me. But anyway, here's the line. Green Bay versus New Orleans in Green Bay. Green Bay is giving 4.5 points to the Saints. What are you thinking?
Well, I got to tell you, I really like the Saints this year. Really think that they're scary on offense. However, this being home game for Green Bay, this being the night when they get their rings, this being a night for them to sort of take back the news, I feel like, you know, usually a big story leading into the season is, you know, whoever won the Super Bowl, are they going to be able to repeat? And instead, that's sort of been washed away in all the craziness of this offseason. I think they're going to be focused, and I'm going to take the Packers on this one.
Okay, that's who I'm going with, too. And I think you're right. A lot of the hype in the offseason, you know, including all the just how crazy it's been in the last few weeks because of the shortened time span of the offseason. Everybody seems to be talking about Philadelphia. And this Green Bay team's kind of been flying under the radar, even though they're a team that just came off a great Super Bowl win. And do you know that they're the – all right, I'm thinking of how to phrase this, but they are one of the youngest teams in the NFL right now. They have a star quarterback who's only 27. If you think about the other star quarterbacks in the league right now, they're all in their 30s. And I believe they're like the second – or third youngest team in the NFL. So there's only two teams in the NFL that are younger. They've got all their players back and healthy. And if you remember, they won that Super Bowl with a lot of their starters out, you know, Charles Woodson, Jermichael Finley.
Ryan Grant.
Ryan Grant was another one. Even the backup running back was out too. So they were on the third string running back. So this is a team that's, when healthy, is going to do a lot of damage this year. So I'm taking Green Bay, giving 4.5 to New Orleans.
Since it's not going to hurt anything, and you've watched the last you checked, can you just tell me, are we accurate so far or no?
So far, we're very accurate. Like I said, I don't want to give anything away, but I will say that Green Bay's offense looks impressive.
Okay, well that's okay. Good, man.
Yeah, so there we are. So we're on our way, and so let's move on to game number two. Here we have Baltimore versus Pittsburgh in Baltimore. Baltimore is giving 1.5 points to the Steelers.
Okay, I really like both these teams, but I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh, similar to Green Bay, I think Pittsburgh is in a really good spot right now. I think when you take a look at all the distractions they had to deal with at the beginning of last year, the way they were able to fight through that, the way that they were able to play, and then you add on top of it the fact that it's pretty much the exact same team that they're bringing back. And that team was better than Baltimore, and I don't really see where Baltimore has done anything to change that dynamic. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this is a tough call for me too. I mean, I do like both these teams. This is always a battle. I was reading something today that said that in the last 18 games that these two teams have played against each other, Pittsburgh, I believe, has won 10 games, and Baltimore has won 8. But of those 18 games, they're only separated by 7 points. And it's something like 330 points total in all those games. But it's separated by 7 points. So, I'm going with the Ravens here just because I think that these guys are going to split. And the most likely way for them to split this season is going to be at their home field. So I'm going to take the Ravens here, given 1.5. I think the Ravens are a team that, like, I think they're going to be a good team this year. And so having that kind of intuition, I think I have to go ahead and pick them here at home. Yeah. First game of season. This could go either way, but I'm going with the Ravens on this one.
So. I kind of stopped real fast. I don't want to jump backwards, but I think it just took me a second to settle in here. I just want to throw out, I'm a little bit surprised that first line you read off for tonight surprised me a little bit. I'm surprised.
You think it was a little bit much or not enough?
I mean, you said the Saints were giving 4.5.
No, the Packers are giving 4.5.
Oh, okay, never mind then. That does make sense. Sorry.
Okay.
Let's continue.
All right.
Hey, it would be surprising if the Saints were giving anything. And then I was just replaying. For some reason in my head, I thought you had said that. All right, let's move on.
All right. Game number three, Tampa Bay against Detroit in Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are giving 1.5 points to Detroit.
Oh, man. You know what, Mike? I've been on this train all offseason. I think a lot of people have, that Detroit is, you know, primed to finally ascend into the ranks of the respectable this season. And I like their personnel. I like Stafford. I think Ndamukong Suh, we talk about this later, but I see him maybe ending up as a defensive player of the year. I love what they have this year. I'm going to take Tampa. I'm going to take Tampa because I really like what they have going too. I like Josh Freeman. I think LeGarrette Blount is a stud. And I don't know. This is what my gut's telling me.
Okay, so you're going with Tampa Bay. I'm taking Detroit in this game. And these teams are kind of similar in a way because Tampa's now, after last season, where I think they really outperformed everybody's expectations, given that they're such a young team with not a lot of experience, went 10-6. I think they're going to actually take a step back this year. I think they're going to be more like a .500 team. I think they're going to feel a little bit of the growing pains. And I think Detroit is up and coming. I think when Stafford's healthy, which he is, at least we know for the first game of this season, Detroit's a very good team. Their defense is good. They've done a lot of good things in the draft in the last couple of years after like a whole decade of really sucking ass in the draft. So I'm picking the Lions here. I think they're going to beat Tampa Bay, and I actually think they're going to blow them out.
Did you see that hit that Ndamukong Suh had? I don't remember what week it was. It was just random.
It wasn't against the Patriots, but I think I know which one you're talking about. Where I think it might have been the first game of the
maybe, and he got fined like $20,000 or something.
Yeah,
dude, he's an animal, man. He is.
He's just a monster inside, and you gotta love just interior defensive linemen who are at the top of their game, because there's probably not a more powerful human being on a football field than one of those guys inside. And that guy is—he's a beast, and that's—he's going to be the foundation of that defense going forward, and certainly this year. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. He's not only is he playing at a high level, he's also kind of got that aura and that reputation about him now about being a great player, being a dominant defensive player, which really helps. You know, like you see it in all kinds of sports with the Pro Bowls and with, you know, with Gold Gloves and things like that. A lot of it has to do with reputation. He's already managed to get himself that reputation after only a year in the league. So,
yeah, this guy, in my mind, Warren Sapp is a really special player. And to me, this guy is all that he was and more. I mean, he's impressive.
I think that's a fair comparison for sure. So, I mean, I'm going to enjoy watching this Detroit team, I think, this year, because it's like a team that's outside of my division, has really no consequence against anything that the Patriots do. So, and they got a lot of young, talented guys, a lot of like Stafford, Calvin Johnson, Sue. I mean, those are just three right there, but they got some good players. So I like what they're doing there.
Yeah, I got a league pass. Excuse me, that's the NBA. I have a Sunday ticket this year for the first time, and the Giants fan in me says I got to be watching the Philly St. Louis game in that early game, and obviously just the NFL fan in me wants to watch Steelers Ravens. But you know what? Whenever I think about those games and which ones I'm going to feature, this is the one that keeps coming to mind, just because I'm so intrigued to take a look at Detroit. So,
yeah, you know, really explore your options. You got them all at the fingertips. Go with it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, all right. Game number four here. Atlanta at the Chicago Bears. Atlanta is giving 3 points.
Atlanta, done. Chicago sucks.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that seem like a small line to you?
Yeah, that's – I mean, that. I mean, if we're going to put together a three-team teaser for everybody, we got to feature this one.
That's a no-brainer for me, I think. That was kind of shocking to me. I know it's Chicago's at home, but – Atlanta's got a lot of firepower this year. I mean, they won 12 games last year. I don't see this game being close at all. Game number five, Kansas City against the Buffalo Bills, in Kansas City. The Chiefs are giving 6 points to Buffalo.
Huh. Well, you know, because Kansas City is another one of these teams, like you had said with Tampa Bay. They're very exciting to watch, and they've got some very good players. I don't necessarily know that they are as good as their record from last year shows. They had a pretty easy schedule. 6 kind of feels like a lot, but they are a very good home team.
I believe they only lost one game at home last year.
Yeah,
I think they were 7-1 at home last year.
Yeah, and I think Buffalo might be a little bit better than people think, but could I see them losing by a touchdown or more? Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay, and see, I'm going with the Bills here, and I'm not really sure why, because, you know, I agree with you. The Chiefs have a lot of good players. I think I'm kind of Buffalo seems to play teams pretty tough in the beginning of the year before they're completely out of the running for every kind of postseason action. And I think that they're going to keep this game close and possibly even going in there and shocking the Chiefs. So I'm going to take the Bills here. I like Fitzpatrick. I think he's a good player. I think Buffalo's defense is going to be better this year with a healthy Merriman. And you know, some of the other guys they brought in up there. So I'm going to take the Bills here. A little upset action.
I like that, man. It was, yeah, well, we don't need to get into it. We don't need to waste too much time, I guess, on Chiefs Bills. Let's continue.
Fair enough. Okay, here's a game that in which the line has changed considerably over the past 48 hours. Houston against Indianapolis. This game is in Houston, and last I checked, Houston is giving 8.5 points to Indy. Obviously, the big news of the day is that Peyton Manning just had surgery, fusing some of his something. I believe it's something cervical, but all I can think about when I say that is that that's, you know, something that has to do with the vagina. But I think some kind of spine fusing operation, which he had, in which they said the minimum recovery is 2 to 3 months. And this is a pretty big deal for Colts fans out there and for the NFL, too, in general, because 2 to 3 months out, and not to mention that a lot of players have had, I guess, that have had this surgery. This has been a career ender. It's a pretty serious neck operation. Obviously, the operation he had in the offseason didn't work out for him. His consecutive game streak is going to be over. And if you're the Colts here, you just made this guy essentially the highest paid player in the NFL. And now he's gone, and you're going to turn the reins over here to Kerry Collins, who I think is going to surprise people in a positive way. But this is not going to be the season that Colts fans were expecting.
Well, man, you know, I love me some Kerry Collins, and I always have. And, man, I will trust that guy. If he's got weapons around him, I trust him. I trust him not to blow a game. Trust him to keep them in it. You know, if this line were a little bit more narrow, I might go Houston, because I'm not saying Indy's going to win, but you said 8.5.
Houston is giving 8.5. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to go Indy with that. I have to. I trust Kerry Collins. You know, as great as Peyton Manning is, I think there are other weapons on that team that Collins can utilize. We know he can air it out. 8.5 is just, it's too big for me. It's too big for me. And, yeah, I'm going Indy.
Okay. I'm taking the Texans here. I think Indy's going to be in a little bit of shell shock. I love Kerry Collins, too. And, like, a lot of people don't even realize. The guy's career stats, I think, he's in the top 10 in almost every major passing category, if I'm not mistaken, which would surprise a lot of people. But, he's statistically, he's up there with some of the all-time greats at the quarterback position. Indy does have a lot of weapons on offense. They got a solid defense coming back. But I think Houston's going to be fired up for this. I think they're going to have to realize that this is going to be their opportunity after playing second fiddle to Indianapolis in that division for the last forever.
Continue.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Can I throw a little trivia at you?
Yeah, bring it on.
You might already have this in your spiral notebook. I don't know. now that Peyton is sitting this weekend, once the Colts game starts and he is not starting, do you know who the new active player is who leads the NFL in consecutive starts at quarterback?
I do not.
Would you care to venture a guess?
I would have to say... It's not Eli, is it?
It is. It is.
Is it really?
It is. Absolutely.
Wow. I mean, I wondered if that was the reason why you would bring it up, because it was Giants related. But wow. Well, good for him.
Hey, man. Him. Toughness. You know, toughness. Drives. He's got it in spades, man. What can I say?
He's got something. Okay, so you're going with Indy. I'm going with Houston, and Eli Manning is about to accept the baton from his older brother. Man, is that guy always going to be second fiddle to Peyton forever? Pretty much, huh?
Well, I mean, all he's got to do is win one more Super Bowl, and I believe he takes over. You know?
Yeah, he does. That's a very good point. And this could be, maybe this is going to be Eli's year now. You see, Peyton goes down, he's got the opportunity. Well, I guess we'll get to the Giants in a little bit, but something to think about. So here's a game that you talked about wanting to be tuned in for. I think a lot of people are going to be interested to see this one. This is Philadelphia at St. Louis. And St. Louis, well, Philadelphia's favorite here. They're giving 4.5 points to the Rams. Your All thoughts?
Right. My thoughts are this is an upset. This is an upset to me. I'm going St. Louis. You know, I don't know how much our listeners want to read into that, since I obviously hate the Eagles more than any other team in all of sports. But you know, I'll tell you what, man, I'm high on these Rams. I mean, what's not to like? You know, I like a lot of the additions that they made. I love what they've been doing in the draft the last few years. I think adding Mike Sims-Walker to what was already a pretty potent offense is going to be great. I think Sam Bradford is going to have taken a huge leap. And you know, I think Philly is a good team. I think the type of hype that's surrounding them right now, based on some of the things that they've done, it's, you know, if this were basketball, I think I would understand it. Or if this were baseball and they had signed, you know, an ace starting pitcher and a slugger maybe. But in football, I just don't necessarily see bringing in two or three pieces translating into, you know, the type of jump that people are talking about. And I don't expect Vic to be as good as he was last year. If you look at his stats over the last, I think it's 5-6 games of the year last year, you can see him starting to decline. He's been inconsistent historically. Yeah, I don't know. To me, I see the Rams definitely. I could definitely see them winning this game. And if not, I could see it definitely being close and coming down to a field goal at the end.
Okay, so I'm going the other way again. We got to take Philadelphia here. I do like the things that the Rams are doing. I haven't had a chance to watch many of their games, obviously being on the East Coast. But I think Philadelphia's just got too many skilled athletes on that offense. I think that what we're going to probably see in this first week, I think offenses are going to look a little bit better than the defenses are going to be. I think you're going to see a lot of missed assignments. And I think that given that assumption that I'm making, Philadelphia's got too many playmakers on offense. And I think they're going to go ahead and win this game and maybe win it by two touchdowns even. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing St. Louis win, but my gut's telling me Philadelphia, even given 4.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I mean, I'm probably not going to pick the Eagles very often, so.
No. I mean, don't bother. I mean, I don't take the Jets very often either.
I drafted Jeremy Maclin last night because it was by far the highest value pick in a fantasy draft. That's about as close as I can get to picking Philly.
Well, you know, baby steps, man. Pretty soon, you might come around. You might come around. Who knows? Game number 8. Cincinnati Bengals at Cleveland. Cleveland is giving 6.5 points to the Bengals. And I'm just going to go right out there and say I'm taking the Browns all the way in this game. I think Cincinnati's going to suck this year, which is nothing new. But I think Cleveland's easily going to win this game.
Yeah, I actually think both these teams might be slightly better than people are talking about. Not good by any stretch for either team. I think Cincy's defense is actually all right. But that offense is a nightmare. I mean, even if Andy Dalton does end up being good, and it seems like A.J. Green certainly is pretty good, it's going to take time, you know, time beyond this season. That Browns team, I like Colt McCoy, man. I think he's pretty good. I think he could make himself into something pretty respectable this year.
He's looked great in the preseason. I know a lot of people are saying that, and you got to take it with a grain of salt for what it's worth. But, they beat the Patriots last year, and, he played pretty good against them. And I think he's going to take another step this year for sure.
All right. So we're both on the Browns, even though I think, given the fact that they're both pretty bad, that's a big line. I'm going to stick with you on that.
That is kind of a big line for two mediocre teams, but we'll have to wait and see. A lot of people are high on the Browns this year. A lot of people are liking what's going on in Cleveland. So So we'll have to wait and see. So next game here. And here's a real exciting game for you. We have Tennessee at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is giving 2 points to the Titans. What are you thinking? And, of course, we got to take into consideration that Jacksonville just released their quarterback about 3 days ago.
I'm going Tennessee in a big way in this one. I actually think Tennessee is, Tennessee is decent. I think especially with the Colts out of the picture, Tennessee could wind up in a playoff game. They could wind up winning that division. Matt Hasselbeck is Matt Hasselbeck. Chris Johnson's back. I think Kenny Britt is a guy who could come on and have a big year. I feel like that's always a solid defense. And Jacksonville, I don't see it, man. I mean, Blaine Gabbert could end up being a very good quarterback, but certainly I don't think these are the ideal conditions to be forging him into that,
So. No, and we saw him, he played the Patriots this preseason, and he just didn't look like an NFL quarterback yet, didn't look really comfortable at all in the pocket, didn't look comfortable reading the defenses. And there's a learning curve to this thing, and you see it all the time. It looks like they're going to go with McCown for the first few weeks at least. But this move doesn't make a lot of sense to me to cut Garrard. I guess I could see how they're opening up some money. But at this point in the season, I mean, who are you going to go out and spend that money on? And how much is it really going to help you if you've got Luke McCown as your quarterback and then a rookie waiting in the wings? I don't know. Maybe they're tanking for the draft next year. I don't know. Free agency. That's a good question. I don't know. I'm taking Tennessee here too. I think Jacksonville, it's almost like throwing in a towel to cut Garrard at this point. I mean, I just didn't get that move at all.
And it's not, this is not a team that can afford to do those things. I mean, this is about as dire as it gets down there. If there is a team, if I had to pick a team right now that should be moved to Los Angeles, this is it. I mean, no one comes to these games. This is in the heart of the country where college football rules. And
there's so many other options for people in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Tampa Bay and Miami, and Miami still has to sell like 10,000 tickets to the game against the Patriots. I mean, and most of those seats are going to be filled up. This week, Miami was practicing with piped in crowd noise to simulate the effect of the New England fans in their own stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously not drawing a lot of fans down there. And like you said, you got the University of Miami, you got Florida, you got Florida State, you got USF, you got Florida Atlantic. You got a million D1 football teams down there and three pro teams. And, how do people decide? I never understood how somebody lives in Florida. Like, how do you decide? Like, I guess if you live in one of those cities, you go with that team. But it's like too many choices. And the weather's too good, so no one's gonna be into that. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing them pull Jacksonville, put a team in Vegas.
I think the only shot they had at really making a run with this thing, given the team they have now, was to draft Tebow, if nothing else, to get people to come to the games. I mean, that's really how dire it is, I think. And we'll have to see. I mean, look, we all remember when they were good with Mark Brunell, and. Oh, I can't believe I don't remember their receiver's name right now. That really upsets me. Oh, well, I'll hopefully think of it at some point. Anyway, let's keep going.
Okay, next game we have your New York Giants at Washington. The Giants are giving 3 points to the Redskins.
Giants.
I mean, I know you're a Giants fan anyway, but doesn't that seem like a small line too? I guess you have to take into consideration the injuries that have –
Jimmy Smith.
Right,
I think that was his name, Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith. I was going to say that, but I was like, no, that can't be his. That can't be his real name. But that guy was legit.
Yeah, dude.
And
absolutely.
They had Fred Taylor.
Yeah, dude. Jimmy Smith.
That was a good team. They went to the playoffs. They went pretty far into the playoffs in their first or second year in the league.
They went to the AFC Championship game, and I want to say they lost to the Broncos.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
No, they beat the Broncos and lost to the Patriots, who then lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl.
That was 97, yep.
That's what happened. Yeah, that's, Jimmy Smith, dude, that guy was a shit, man.
Yeah, Mark Brunell.
Yep. Anyways, so the Giants look, there's a lot of reasons for people to be down on the Giants, but just the
same way. How many season-ending injuries have happened already? Five?
Look, there's been a lot. There's been a lot. but look, just like I think people are putting too much stock in the improvements that Philly's made, I think people might be sort of underestimating the Giants. I feel like, I mean, look, we spent a whole podcast talking about this, and things have gotten worse since then.
Right.
But you know, look, the offensive line to me is not a big issue. I think they've looked pretty good. I think people who want to say that their offensive line is, you know, decimated or weaker, I don't actually think that's true. I think Eli Manning's going to have a good year. I love Mario Manningham and Hakeem Nicks. I love the running back duo. And look, the defense, at the end of the day, look, Terrell Thomas, that was a huge blow. You and I communicated a lot that night. You had to talk me off the ledge. Yeah. But look, I think that secondary is still – I think Antrell Roll and Kenny Phillips, that's a great safety tandem. Corey Webster is a great corner. Aaron Ross has been impressive at times in his career. But at the end of the day, it's all about getting the quarterback. And OC will be back after a few weeks. In the meantime, Jason Pierre-Paul and Justin Tuck, not bad ends to have. ESPN scouts just ranked Justin Tuck as the best D-end in the league. And, you know, look, if they're getting to the quarterback, if the defensive line is playing the way it can, and if we can avoid injury for a few weeks here, I'm not saying, you know, Super Bowl or bust, but I'm not ready to hand over the division to Philly either.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fair. I do like a lot of the things that the Giants still have going for them that you mentioned. I'm taking the Giants here. Redskins, I guess we're going to start to see how the John Beck experiment goes. That should be interesting. I'm anticipating another tough year for the Redskins.
Yeah, I've heard people talking about, you know, I've heard all kinds of people, fantasy football analysts and podcasters and all these people. I heard Mike Lombardi on the BS Report last week talking about how the Redskins are not as bad as a lot of people make them out to be. And I don't see that. I see there are some teams who I think are probably a little bit better than people give them credit for. I think Buffalo might be. I think Cincy might be because their defense. Washington is not good.
I haven't heard any of those particular breakdowns of the Redskins' talent, but I'd be curious to see what they have to say. To me, I'm thinking that this is a team that's going to win four games, maybe five. And be at the bottom of that division. So, I think this will be, it's still in that division, it's going to be tough. I mean, this is a must-win game for the Giants. You know, it's going to come down between them, Philly and Dallas, as it usually does. But, Philly and Dallas are going to be tough teams to beat this year, too. So, any game in the division that you have, you know, you got to win that for sure. So, I'm taking the Giants here. I think 3 points is a little bit of a small spread anyway, but I'm going to go ahead and take them on the road.
I'll just throw out quickly, I think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line. Mike Lombardi really liked their offensive line. And I haven't heard Simmons guessing the lines this week, but I heard him just in there. He and Cousin Sal did the over-unders for wins for each team. And yep. I actually heard Simmons say, and, you know, not that Simmons, I don't believe he's a, you know, I don't put a whole lot, I wouldn't go bet on things that he says, but you know, he's a pretty big name. He works for ESPN, saying he actually wouldn't be surprised. He actually thinks it could happen that Washington claims the third spot in that division and pushes the Giants down to fourth. And I think that's crazy. I think that's totally insane.
That just doesn't seem like reality to me. But we'll have to wait and see. It's just the beauty of this. They got to play the games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, number 11 here. We have Carolina at Arizona. Arizona giving 7 points. I'm taking the Cardinals here. I think they're going to win. I think Carolina, with the inexperience and the youth at quarterback, I like this Cardinals team the way they're built right now. So I'm going with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't necessarily love that line at 7, just because we don't really know exactly what the Cardinals are yet. I might want to tease that, throw it in. And I guess I wouldn't want to do that. So I guess I wouldn't be betting on this game anyways, but I would take the Cardinals. I don't think anyone Carolina players included are expecting them to win this game. That's, yeah, I'm going. If this game were at home, I might be saying something different. But on the road at Arizona, yep. Week 1, I don't like it.
Yep. Very good. Number 12, we have our favorite division in football, the NFC West. We have Seattle at San Francisco with the 49ers giving 5.5 points.
Ugh, 5.5. Wow.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Well,
Two field goals. You know?
I got to tell you, man. So I just listened when I was stuck in traffic. Steve Young was on the radio, and he was saying that, you know, Jim Harbaugh was really surprised when he got a look at Alex Smith. He was expecting not to like Alex Smith, was expecting to not want him to be part of the plans. And then when he worked with him and saw him throw, he said, this guy is serious. This could be the man here. Now, what the people interviewing him were saying, you know, maybe time has just run out on that. The guy is feeling so much pressure because the minute he throws a bad interception, whole city's going to be calling for his head, you know?
It's been a tough run there for him. I mean, but seriously, I think he's gone through like 5 different offensive coordinators in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like the guy's really had a legitimate chance to learn a system. And he's basically been a first-year quarterback in that system every year. And quite frankly, for a few of those years, without anybody else around him, not a very good defense until they brought in Willis, and they're starting to put some pieces together there. You know, I think the San Francisco team's pretty good. I was kind of shocked that they weren't able to put it together under Singletary, and that was a team I was kind of rooting for, and especially with all the antics that he was coming up with. You know, that was certainly keeping us entertained. But, you know, when you watch Alex Smith play, you could tell the guy's got a ton of talent. He's very athletic. He's got a good arm. It just didn't seem like they ever had, you know, the system in place, or they ever really had a grasp on what the offense was. So, I mean, Harbaugh obviously he's kind of made his name as a quarterback's coach and doing some of those things. So, you know, I think this could be a good fit for him. And I take San Francisco in this game. I think Tavares Jackson, I've never seen anything out of him that gives me a lot of, you know, instills a lot of confidence in me. And I think that the Seattle team, you know, I think they kind of overachieved at the end of last year. They squeaked into the playoffs. They surprised some people. But that's not a team that really blows me away. I think for the first game of the season at home, San Francisco, I like them in this game, even given 5.5.
Yeah, I agree. I like San Francisco too. And you know, the thing is, people are down on San Francisco, and I think largely because of the Alex Smith thing. But like you just said, Harbaugh should be a guy who can get the best out of Alex Smith. And when you take a look at what he's got around him, like you said, the defense with Willis. I mean, I said Sue. And Ndamukong Suh might be defensive player of the year, but Willis might be the best defensive player in the league. And on offense, he's got Francoeur behind him. He's got Crabtree and Braylon Edwards on either side of him. He's got Vernon Davis. You know, they've drafted some solid offensive linemen. You know, he is in a position now to be successful. Whether or not he will be remains to be seen. But, you know, he doesn't have to light it up for them to win this division. I mean, he just needs to, you know, he just needs to play adequately, and
right,
and they could stumble into this division crown at 8-8 or 9-7. So
yeah, I mean, we saw last year. I mean, there was only one team in that division that had a winning record. Actually, no team in that division had a winning record because Seattle got into the playoffs with a losing record.
Yeah,
so. It's not highly competitive. And, you know, like you said, I think Alex Smith, this might be the best shot he has. It is probably his last shot, you know, at that starting quarterback job. Maybe, you know, he ends up somewhere else as a backup at some point. But it'll be interesting to watch how things unfold there. You know, again, new coach, new system. But, you know, I think San Francisco is going to be a pretty decent team this year. So we're both in agreement. Taking San Fran, giving 5.5 to Seattle. So, speaking of Tavares Jackson's old team, the Minnesota Vikings are going to be in San Diego, where the Chargers are giving 8.5 points. Big line here. that the first
big.
Week.
That's big. I'm going with Minnesota. I think Minnesota is – I really like their defense. I'm all about Adrian Peterson. I think Donovan McNabb can do a better job there than what they've had in the past few years, even with Brett Favre. And that line is just way too big for me. I'd go Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree with you with the size of the line, but my instinct was to pick San Diego. You know, everybody – San Diego has been a team that's been very good for a long time. I think that if they're going to put something together, this is going to be a year for them to do it. I think that a lot of these games in this first week are not going to be close. I think that there's going to be a lot of games that kind of get away from teams, and I think there's going to be, you know, a lot of mistakes, turnovers, things like that. And I think San Diego's defense, they have an excellent defense there. Donovan McNabb, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, frankly. I would do everything. I would just stack the box and then make McNabb try and beat you. They don't have much for wide receivers besides Percy Harvin up there. I don't think Minnesota is going to be the team that people, you know, have been watching for the last couple of years, where they're almost very solid at every position except for the quarterback. You know, I don't think their defense is as good as it's been, and I don't think their offense is going to be as good as it's been. So I'm taking San Diego here. I think they're probably going to – I can see this game going a couple touchdowns here. So it is a big line, but, I mean, maybe this would be one to tease it down to 2.5. If you throw in Atlanta and maybe that Arizona game, you know, that would maybe be my preliminary three-team tease. But we got a few more games to get to, I guess, so – I mean, is that crazy, San Diego, given 8.5 at home, first game of the season? It's an explosive offense, good defense. I think Minnesota, I mean, who knows what they're going to get out of McNabb. I don't know. I don't see things going well for Minnesota this year.
Well, I think they might surprise you, but we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That's fair. Number 14. Dallas Cowboys at the New York Jets. Jets are giving 5 points. Your thoughts? This is a tough one, right?
It is. This is. I like both these. I actually hate both these teams, but I like. I like both these offenses. Is what I mean. 5.5 is big, but I'm going to take the Jets.
Just five.
Oh, five. Oh, that's big. I'm going to take the Jets. I think the Jets. Look, the Jets. We'll have to. I mean, obviously, this is football, so this is the sport where, you know, no matter how good people are on paper, you got to line them up and play and see how it shakes out. But, I mean, you know, they seem to be loaded everywhere. You know.
Yeah. That's a solid team, man. Trust me. The last time I saw them, they were kicking our ass. So I'm taking Dallas in this game, partly because of the 5 points and partly because I think this is a game they actually could win. I think Dallas has a lot to prove this year. I like that they've got experience. I like some of the things that they got on defense. They could do a pass rush. I like some of the offensive weapons that they have. And I hate the Jets. So this allows me to root against them and, you know, kind of rationally say that I think the Cowboys go and either make this game close or steal one from the Jets. Fingers crossed.
AB, I'll tell you what, Jets, I know, I mean, this is, we're in totally opposite situations here.
Right, you would obviously like Dallas to lose a game. Yeah. I would love the Jets to lose a game.
And not just like, I mean, I think for both of us it's pretty freaking big. I mean, I don't know. At least for me, I mean, I feel like we're in a fucking dogfight right now with these three teams.
I mean, it's going to come down to a game, I think, to decide the NFC East and the AFC East this year. So, yeah. It is what it is. Every game counts, obviously, but anytime another divisional opponent playing, I mean, you're rooting for them to lose.
Obviously. I'm just throw it out there. You know who the Giants' two extra games are this year?
I do not.
Green Bay and New Orleans.
That's pretty tough of scheduling right there.
Yeah, not good. Anyways, let's keep going. Yeah.
But it'll be exciting games to watch.
Yeah, I hope so. They better be.
Yeah.
Because if they're not exciting, then I have a pretty good idea about who's blowing who out.
Those primetime games? I don't know. They could be. All right. Miami and the Patriots. The game is in Miami. The Patriots are giving 7 points. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that the Patriots are going to win and cover this game. But I should let you speak first. I think this Miami team is going to be pretty good this year, to be honest with you. But I think that the Patriots are going to go down there and win this game running away.
Wow. No doubt in anybody's mind, huh?
I guess that was a little bit strong. I should have said there's no doubt in my mind. It's getting late out here.
No,
it is 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Massachusetts, my friend.
No, listen, no, I'm with you. I actually don't think Miami's pretty good. I think that they suck. And I think that Reggie Bush sucks, and I think that Chad Henne sucks. And I think Brandon Marshall sucks on that team because he has nobody to throw to him. And I think their defense sucks except for a few players. And I think their coach sucks. I think that organization sucks. I think all their owners suck. I think their fans suck. I think that city sucks. I think New England is gonna win very easily.
All right, man. I had no idea you had such such anger towards Miami, but I think it's awesome. I think it's great.
Maybe have I been holding that in ever since the Heat beat the Celtics?
Like, that sounded like it was that came a little bit deeper than just simply a first week of the NFL season analysis of the game.
That sounds like much deep rooted. I was
trying
to be classy after the Celtics lost to the Heat. I was praising the Heat, talking about how they'd probably win the title, all this stuff, defending LeBron, and maybe that just needed to come out. Just
time for class is over, my friend. You know, this is the NFL now, so enjoy that game. Root for the Patriots.
Cameron Wake's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, on that defense, you've got Cameron Wake, and then you have the two corners, Vontae Davis and I can't remember what the other guy's name is. He was also a very good cornerback. So, I mean, they've got some good players on that defense. Cameron Wake was causing all kinds of trouble for Matt Light the last couple times that the Patriots played them, getting a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. So, I mean, that's something that the Patriots are going to have to take care of for sure. But, again, you know, like you said, I don't really buy Henne as a starting quarterback in this league, being able to carry that team. And I'm still curious to see what they're going to do with this Reggie Bush experiment down here, giving him handoffs. I don't know how he's going to do getting more than 10 touches a game, which is really all he's done in his career, which is kind of mind-boggling when you consider the contract the guy had. But
between now and the time, last time we did a podcast, they signed Larry Johnson and cut Larry Johnson.
Oh, Larry Johnson. It seems like he's being signed and cut every offseason. That guy just totally dropped off the face of the earth.
I got to say, and, you know, he doesn't seem like he's the greatest dude in the world based on some of the things that he's said in the past. Mm-hmm. But I think, to me, maybe the two greatest award travesties going back are, I think 06 MVP should have been Kobe Bryant instead of Steve Nash's second consecutive. I don't think Steve Nash should have won either, but Kobe really should have had it that year. And I think the year Carson Palmer won the Heisman, I really think Larry Johnson was the best player in college football that year for Penn State. He was amazing, man.
Yeah, he was a good player. I do remember those days. But, you know, a flashy quarterback from USC gets him every time.
It's true. It's true.
You know? All right. Well, let's hit the last game here, and it's a doozy. We got the Oakland Raiders traveling to Denver, where the Broncos are giving 3 points. I'm going Denver all the way here. I think Oakland, it's like in my head, I'm like, I'm trying to convince myself that they can win this game. But Denver, you know, I think Orton's a good quarterback. I think this nonsense about him and Tebow battling for position is ridiculous. I think he's proven that he's an NFL quarterback, a starting NFL quarterback. And Oakland, I just don't know, you know, I don't know what they've got going on offense. You know, it just seems like it's just a circus over there as usual. But I think Denver's going to win this game.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the Raiders. I think they're a little bit better than people think. But I live in the West Coast in the Bay Area. And
you've gotten the bias now.
I'm not even West Coast bias. I'm not even going to watch this game. I'll tell you that right now.
You might flip through. You know, it's only a matter of time before you're wearing a 49ers jacket and getting into brawls.
That's what I'm saying. Not if I don't want to get shot.
Yeah, fair enough. So there we did it. All 16 games, we picked them. I tracked all of our picks here so I can get that information over to you. We'll put them up on the sites so you guys can follow along, see how smart or retarded we are. When it comes to picking points, you know.
And
so
next week we'll not only have an update on how we did with our picks, but we'll also have a TGE update.
The Gridiron Extravaganza.
Transcontinental
Gridiron
Extravaganza.
Dude, it's like almost past my bedtime. That's how old I am right now.
Hey, you know what they say, man? These long distance relationships are not easy.
It's tough, you know. It's tough, man. You know, I used to stay up late all the time, and now it's like you were there. Shit, you were there. But things change, man. Things change, you know. You get a little older, you get hair in weird places, you know. It's not for wimps, I'll say that much. But lines are concluded here. What do you say? We got a few emails from readers, so maybe we can just real quickly kind of bullet round, hit on some of those questions that have been submitted. We love when you guys send us comments. We love when you write terrible things about us online. Whatever you need, you know, questions answered, advice on relationships or home appliances, you know, pretty much anything. We can handle it here. So
send it over. CNE, that stands for Chat New England, cnepodcast@gmail.com. Send it over, and the lovely Jennifer will respond to you and get the questions on to us.
Yeah, the first our first employee.
That's right.
And I got to say, it's working out pretty well.
Yeah, actually, you know, I mean, I don't know. I feel like people might like us to have her on sometime during the season. I'll see if she's into it.
Yeah, man. Well, okay. So speaking of long distance relationships, I want to grab our first question here.
Okay.
Tyler from Houston, Texas submits this question for us. When Nick and Ben have sex just before getting on air to do their podcast, who is on the top and who is on the bottom? I'll let you field this one.
Oh, thanks. Well, man, it was hard to tell today. It was so quick because I had to rush in after the traffic jam. I don't even remember. Do you remember?
No, you know, I've always kind of imagined that we'd be more of like a spooning couple. And that maybe because I'm taller and longer, that I would be kind of like on the outside.
I mean, that works for me, man. I mean, it's the 21st century. I think we could be, you know, if we're on our sides, I think that's even footing, you know?
Yeah.
As all relationships should be these days.
Equal rights.
Right. You know?
So hopefully that answers Tyler's question. You know, I think we appreciate that. You know, that's very nice that he was thinking of our relationship.
He's best man at my wedding. I'm glad he had such nice things to say to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, friends like these. Okay. All right. Our next question here from Brian, I'm not sure if I know Brian. I don't know if you know Brian.
I don't know.
Just
Brian.
An anonymous fan, maybe, which is great. We love him. Let's see. Brian's question. How many catches will Ocho Cinco have this year? So, you know, I've been kind of toying with, you know, what kind of – initially, you get excited when Ocho Cinco is coming to the Patriots, at least I did, thinking like, all right, he's going to be an impact player. But I think he's going to have a much smaller role on the team than people expect. I think a good year for Ocho Cinco with this team is going to be 35 catches. And that's kind of my prediction. I think he's going to have one or two catches. a game, maybe. Maybe one game he'll have six or seven, have a big night. But I'm thinking probably around 35, 40 catches this year for Ocho Cinco.
All right, I'm going to go slightly higher. Not too much. I'm gonna put it at an even 50. Actually, you know what? No, I'm gonna say 60. How's that? I'm gonna say 60 catches. Right. The guy is talented, and a guy who I know works this hard, and who I know is this competitive, and who I know would not have been brought in by the Patriots if they didn't think he could still perform. I don't know. I'm not talking about steady production. I'm talking about, I think we could see a few games where he catches six or seven balls and scores a touchdown.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not uncommon for any Patriots wide receiver. You know, that's kind of how the season goes for most of them, with the exception of Welker, really is the most consistent. But, you know, Ocho Cinco's had a hard time adjusting to the Patriots offense. You know, having the short offseason definitely hurt him. He's been open about having difficulty picking up the system, the calls, and he hasn't really looked comfortable out there in terms of running routes, which, I mean, he's a great route runner. He's always been a really, really fundamental receiver, you know, in terms of knowing the zones and things like that. And until he gets the offense figured out, you know, he's playing like he's thinking the whole time out there. And these are all things that he said. He's working hard. I'm sure that, you know, I don't think they're going to have to worry about his work ethic or anything like that. He obviously loves being in New England, but I don't think he's going to have the huge year that some people might expect. And hopefully that's going to be all right with him. You know, a lesser role. I think it will be. I think he might enjoy the opportunity to kind of thrive as a role player and have the occasional breakout game. But I think in around 35, 40 catches, maybe 500 or 600 yards, three or four touchdowns, pretty low numbers for a guy like of his caliber, but that's really all I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, is he playing too much Xbox, or what's going on?
He does play a lot of Xbox. If you follow him on Twitter, you know, he challenges people to FIFA and Madden on there. And apparently he's pretty good, but, you know, I don't know if that's what it is. He's obviously a guy who, if you look at it at face value, you could say, man, this guy spends a lot of time out promoting himself, doing all kinds of different things. And it's always going to rub fans the wrong way or give people the wrong impression when, at the same time, here's a guy that's saying, I'm having trouble getting down the offense. Well, you would think that you would want to make it seem like you were working really hard to get the offense down all the time. But, I mean, the guy's a human being. It's not like these other guys are studying playbooks 24 hours a day. You know, so.
Right. And I think when he means he's having a hard time getting it down, I don't think that means like I'm having a hard time remembering the plays and what route I should run. I think it probably deals more with audibles and just with
the comfort
the timing,
zone.
Yeah, so, the timing of the routes. And
Which is a huge part of the Patriots offense. And it's a complex offense. There's a lot of audibles. There's a lot of, you know, plays change on the fly based on different looks. There's a lot of reads that these receivers have to make to adjust their routes. So it's not an easy offense to pick up by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, he hasn't had that much time here. I think maybe a slow start to the season, maybe things pick up around week four or five. But I think he's going to be a good player for the Pats. I just don't think he's going to be a Pro Bowl wide receiver there.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike, for the question. And at this moment, I would just like to give a quick...
Brian.
Jesus, man. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, don't insult the fans like that.
Shit,
you know, take
man.
Time to email us. And Brian, I got your back, man. I got your back.
Yeah, man, I thought we hired Jennifer so that I wouldn't be making these mistakes.
Well, no.
I would just say a quick call out there, if he's listening at all, to our old – we had a diehard fan at our old website who we knew – we did not know at all and yet would be commenting and emailing us all the time. Was his name Mason Kashka?
Yes.
If Mason Kashka –
I actually forgot about that guy.
Mason Kashka, if you're out there, big LSU fan, if you're out there, man, please send us an email at CNE Podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. A lot of time's gone by. We haven't heard from you. We get a little bit worried.
All right. Anything else?
We do have a couple more questions here. We got a couple Giants questions here.
All right.
So this comes from our buddy Sean down in Connecticut. Sean wanted to know why Eli took so much heat for his comments about considering himself to be one of the top five players in the league, and that wouldn't everybody want their starting quarterback to make the comments that he made in that situation? I mean, what were your thoughts as a Giants fan when you heard the things and then heard the reaction, which was almost took on a life of itself?
Yeah, well, part of the problem is, that, and this has gone on for a while, that the media, and I blame ESPN a lot for this, the media takes some of the things that these guys say in interviews and just totally rips away the context and just blows it up based on a few words that they say. And it happens all the time that, like, you know, Christ, you read a few times a year about how guys are guaranteeing victories in games, and that's not what they say, you know? And with Eli, he was asked if he believed he was a top level quarterback. And he said, yes, I do think I am. And they asked him, so you think you're in like a top five quarterback class with guys like Tom Brady? And he said, yes, I believe I'm in that class. Now to me, that's a perfectly reasonable answer. This is a guy that's won a Super Bowl. This is a guy who threw for over 4,000 yards last year. This is a guy who was a Super Bowl MVP. It's a guy who's been to Pro Bowls. This is a guy who plays quarterback in, you could argue, the most difficult media climate that there is. And I can promise you he would have taken just as much heat if he had said, no, I don't consider myself in that class, as he was taking for saying it. I think the fact that the guy asking the question threw Tom Brady's name in there is what, and then it turned into Eli says he's just as good as Brady, or he's in the same class with Brady. Had he said that, you know, without the question being posed to him, then I could see people maybe taking issue with it, because then it would seem like he was actually calling Brady out or actually singling Brady out in some way. But the way that the questions came to him, I see no problem with the way he responded.
Right. And it's like you said, this is all a result of the journalistic climate that these guys are faced with, where everything they say is blown out of proportion or analyzed to the nth degree. And it's created a climate where people are like, you have to give such canned answers to these questions that anything that actually has any substance to it is automatically just, they take it and run with it. I mean, as somebody who's a fan of the Patriots, I mean, you can see, if you listen to the press conferences that these guys do, and especially that Belichick does, it's like they don't give anything. It's almost a joke. It's almost a running joke that you know, these guys ask questions and they know exactly what he's going to say. But, you know, I think the reason that Eli took some heat for this is because I think there is another answer that you give and that a lot of guys would give in this situation. I think it's tough, and you're on the fly answering these things, but I think people expect somebody to say, you know, and, you know, I don't think Eli's wrong for saying what he said, but I think people expect the guy to say, well, no, you know, I don't get into discussions about ranking myself against other guys. That's for other people to worry about. All I'm worried about is the team and helping the team win and figuring out what we can do to win this next game, you know. And that's such, in a sense, that's such a bullshit answer, because it doesn't answer the question, right? The question is, how good do you think you are? I mean, that's the underlying subtext of the question. And do you think you're better than, you know, player X, Y, and Z? But, yeah, you know, they ask that question, but then it's like nobody really wants to hear the answer, because then, you know, then it takes on this whole life unto itself. So,
right. And, you know, and I think when you describe that answer that you could give, that actually, when you were just listening to you say it, it sounded like Eli Manning. I mean, you didn't have like the Elmer Fudd voice, but I mean the words. And
I work on that impression for when the Patriots play the Giants later in November.
But that's the way he usually answers questions, and that's why, you know, even
in that's the way most of these guys answer the questions, right? I mean,
yeah, he's survived.
It's so vanilla now.
And he's survived in this New York market without hardly any controversy. And, you know, I think had he been a little more ready for this question, that's what he would have said. I think probably, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't expecting that kind of question. Oh, do you think you're as good as Tom Brady? That has nothing to do with anything that's going on with him or the Giants or the NFC East. So I think it probably just caught him off guard. And, you know, sure. I mean, look, I really think the worst thing he could have said, knowing the New York media, is, no, I don't think I'm as good. I think what you said would have been better, but I have no problems with his answer.
Yeah. And when you named off all of his accomplishments and things like that, you know, it makes sense. I mean, a Super Bowl MVP, Pro Bowl player, threw for 4,000 yards last year, is about to take over the current longest consecutive starts streak. So, I mean, he's got the credentials to back that up. You know, people are probably never going to stack him in the same class of quarterback as his brother or the Tom Brady's of the world. But, you know, that's fine. He's still having a great career in New York, regardless of how other people stack him up. It's obvious to me that to play quarterback in the NFL, you have to have a level of confidence. And clearly he has that. It's expressed in his play on the field. And, you know, I think it's tough. It's tough for these guys with the way that the media works now and the way that everything is not only, you know, are these questions being asked, you know, but they're, you know, being taken instantly out of context and spread around the entire world before, you know, you really even realize what's going on. And yeah. I'd like to take some of the blame for that. You and I ourselves certainly were guilty of being part of that culture of information and, you know, jumping to conclusions about things. But that's, you know, it's just, that's just the way it is now. You know, that's just the way that information travels, and you've got no choice really but to form an opinion, because if you don't, if you try and take your time and research the facts, you know, the show's moved on, you know, by the time you catch up to it. So I don't know what that means, by the way, what I just said. But anyway, another question from Sean, which is sort of Giants related, is about Plaxico Burress. I know you're disappointed that Plax didn't come back to the Giants and signed with the crosstown Jets. But what do you think about Plax in the preseason, if you saw any of his games, and going forward, what are your expectations for him this season with the Jets?
Huh. Well, you know, it's tough to know. I think he's going to make an impact. I think he's a red zone threat. I think Santonio Holmes is a red zone threat, and I think it's a good situation for him. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to make an impact. Whether or not that means, you know, drawing coverage away from Santonio Holmes, whether or not that means, you know, being sort of a security blanket for Mark Sanchez because of, you know, how much bigger his strike zone is. You know, I'm not predicting Pro Bowl, but I think he's going to make an impact and help the Jets win a lot of football games.
I think that's reasonable. I have kind of a suspicion that he's not going to stay healthy all year. I don't know if it's just because he's been out of football for a while, but I'm certainly going to be rooting hard against him. He's never done anything to win my favor. That's for sure.
So, why? What has he ever done to make you upset?
Oh, you shut your whorish mouth. I'm not even going to justify that comment with a response. I'm going to move along to the next question from an anonymous Redskins fan, an angry anonymous Redskins fan. I'm sure that you can possibly imagine who that might be, since I think we both only know one Redskins fan. Maybe two.
Yeah, who happens
Maybe
to two. Be angry.
Yeah, extremely angry. Recently lost 200 pounds. Anonymous Skins fan asks, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how pathetic is Albert Haynesworth? Typical Redskins question, I would say. Will he make the Pats this year? The answer, I think, is obviously yes. And can Belichick make him work? Again, I think the answer is obviously yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how pathetic is Albert Haynesworth? I think you still got to go with a 7 or an 8. Because if you look at the guy's track record and what he did in Washington and some of the off-the-field stuff, it hasn't been good. You know, he hasn't, and on the field too, he's had a lot of incidents. I think that New England is going to be a good fit for him, much in the same way that it was for Randy Moss. I think, you know, like we talked about this before, where I think the Patriots can catch lightning in a bottle here with this guy for a year, maybe two. And then at that point, I think it can go downhill quickly once he's kind of reestablished himself. But, you know, so far he's saying all the right things. He's playing with guys he respects. You know, Vince Wilfork and him were were close throughout their careers, you know, playing against each other, always had a mutual admiration. And he is, by all accounts, fired up to come out and play to prove that he's still one of the best defensive linemen in the game. And that's a scary proposition for opposing teams, because this guy's an animal when he shows up to play. He's shown that in his career. You know, what does he have left? I think he's got a lot left, you know. And I think he's going to have a big impact on that team. You know, he's got a lot of things he's got to account for in his past. And certainly I'm not going to make any excuses for him. But I do believe that you have to give people a clean slate, you know. And we talked about this with Michael Vick. You know, the guy went to jail, served his time. You know, you have to give these guys a chance to redeem themselves in some way. And whether that means just being a good teammate and staying out of trouble off the field, something as simple as that. You know, you can't deny somebody that right. So I'm excited to see what happens, because right now it sounds like this is a guy who realizes that he's made some mistakes in the past, is relishing in this opportunity to play for a competitive team with a coach he respects, with teammates that he respects, and also has a chance to prove himself, to show the league that he is, you know, the most feared defensive lineman in the game and was worthy of the contract that he got. And the Redskins, certainly it didn't pay off for the Redskins. Certainly they didn't get their money's worth. But that's what people thought he was worth at that point in time. Can he recapture that? I think there's a good chance that he's going to come close.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got a lot left. You know, I still think he's pretty pathetic, but I think the Redskins are also pretty pathetic. I don't think – look, defensive line is just not a position where you give that kind of contract. It's all about the motor. You know, this situation – much better for the Patriots, much better for Haynesworth. Like you said, he's got tons of talent, which I'm sure he will continue to demonstrate inconsistently and sporadically throughout his career. And, you know, there's a lot of things in his past he doesn't have to attend to because of that talent. And I think he's going to be a good player for the Patriots. But yeah, he is pretty pathetic. And there was a story on Barstool Sports recently that I thought was pretty hilarious. He had to go, he was arraigned for, well, it was like assaulting a cocktail waitress or something like that.
And he was
talking to someone, interviewed it, and he was talking about his defense, and he basically was like, you know, I just want to tell him I don't even like black girls.
Yeah, I read a lot of those things. And once he got through training camp, you know, he had to go and kind of deal with that stuff during it, but a lot of that stuff has stopped. And I think that was kind of part of the deal, is that he didn't practice until he had gone through this court hearing about this alleged assault. And from all understandings, it's been resolved. He left there, and I believe he went straight from the courtroom right to practice.
And when he walked out of the courtroom, he yelled, "Go Patriots!"
That's right. So I mean, you got to love that as a Patriots fan. You know what's on his mind. So, but. You know, he's a guy who probably, if this doesn't work out in New England, is not going to get another shot somewhere. So,
right.
Go out on the line for him. So.
Now, we're almost at a minute 15. We got a great question from our buddy Jim. It's a question that we like enough and that is important enough to us that I almost want to hold it for next week. What do you think?
I would definitely hold that one. If it's still just. Question I'm thinking it is.
Knowing us, we could talk about that for 30 minutes, so.
Easily. Yeah, why don't we wait on that, you know, and maybe we can get to Blake's question, too, although it was more of a topic, I guess, than a question per se, but.
You mean we could get to it today or we get to it next week?
We could get to it next week.
That would be good. I got to use the bathroom, man. The falafel.
You mentioned something.
That falafel I had for dinner went right through me.
You and your damn falafels.
Yeah, I shouldn't have even said anything.
I'll let you tend to that pressing business. Enjoy the game, right?
I heard another pretty good joke. Do you want to hear it or no?
Yeah, tell me the joke.
All right, here it goes quickly. Ready?
Yep.
All right, guy walks into a church. Don't stop me if you've heard it, because some people might not have. Guy walks into a church. There's a nun sitting there at a desk. Guy says, or she says, "Can I help you, sir?" The guy says, "Yeah, I want to join this goddamn church." And Nun says, excuse me? He says, I said I want to join this goddamn church. Nun says, you know, sir, I'd really appreciate it if you could watch your language a little bit. And he says, listen, lady, what the fuck is your problem? I just said I want to join this goddamn church, and I want to do it today. She says, oh, Jesus. She says, okay, hang on one second, sir. So she goes in the back and finds the priest and says, you know, we got a situation out here. She explains it to him, and he listens, and he says, listen, you're exactly right. You should not have to hear that type of language. Let's go back out there, and I'll deal with him. So they go back out, and the priest says, excuse me, sir. Could you tell me what's going on? And the guy says, yeah, listen, I'm trying to tell this lady I want to join this goddamn church today. I just hit the lotto last week. I won $200 million. I want to give some back, so I'm trying to find a church to join so I can give half my winnings to it. I picked this goddamn church, and I want to join today so I can start the process. And the priest nods, and he says, all right, I understand. And this bitch is giving you a hard time. Not bad, right?
Not bad at all, man.
Shout out to Tyler, who wrote us that question, for giving me that joke.
Well, now I take it back. I didn't enjoy that at all.
All right, man.
Tops
well, look.
And bottoms.
Yeah. Worst of luck to you with those picks on which we disagreed, and you'll get me what we each picked, and we'll get
this
thing posted.
I'll send that over to you.
All right, and were we thinking about Wednesday next week? Is that correct?
Wednesday night, I think that's a good night. Hump day.
All right.
Take you right into the weekend.
Let's do it, man. Have a good night.
All right, buddy.
Later.